The reading is from Isaiah chapter 6, and beginning to read at verse 1, and it is on page 690 in the Church Bibles. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Amen.
Good morning. It's great to be with you today. It's always a privilege to be able to come come and visit. I think the guys at King's Church Eden are glad for me to come and be with you guys, at least for one Sunday. So thanks for having us here this morning. And most of you will know that I have the amazing joy and privilege of being the debt centre manager for the work of CAP here in Eden. And I've been doing that now. I think this is we celebrate this year our fourth completed year in the debt centre. Isn't that fantastic? And originally I was invited to come and take the job on a three-year basis because nobody really knew how big the problem was out there and really how long we would be able to sustain the centre. But we're just going from strength to strength. So thank you guys for that, and thank you God for blessing us in it. But I want to give you a little bit of an insight into the reality. Have we got our slides up today? There we go, yeah. So I want to give you a little bit of an insight into the reality of the situation in the UK, because we are a first world country, and yet 1.5 million people in the UK are destitute. That's incredible, isn't it? Now I want to explain to you what that word means, and also what 1.5 million people look like very briefly. So, and I'm going to invite you to look again at the issue of poverty and destitution. The word destitute means to be extremely poor and lacking the means to provide for yourself. I think we've heard from Lorraine, haven't we, that was the situation she found herself in through an amazingly traumatic series of experiences that happened to her. I don't know if this is not quite working for me. I'm pressing buttons. Do I need to switch it on? Ah, that will help, won't it? There we go. Okay. Technology, always. There we are, yes. So what does 1.5 million people look like? I would say, what is there, about 70 people, probably 50 people here in the room this morning? Well, if we multiply our whole church congregation here at PMC, including the services coming later, we would need to multiply that number by about 10,000 people, 10,000 times, sorry, and that would give us 1.5 million. That's a lot, isn't it? If you think about the size of our church here. What about the population of Penrith? About 15,000 people in the Penrith church. We would need to multiply the size of Penrith 100 times to get 1.5 million It's huge numbers, isn't it? Population of Eden, we'd need to increase it by 30 times. Population of Cumbria, which is 500,000 people, we would need to multiply that 3 times to find the number of people who are living in destitution here in the UK in 2019. It's a crazy number. When we actually drill that down to the actual people living here in Penrith, we're talking about 337 people who are actually destitute here in our own town. Just think about that for a moment, because that's a significant number of people, isn't it? In Eden, it would be about 1,200 people, 1,200 people across Eden who are living in extreme poverty here in our own community. Now, we've heard from Isaiah and how he feels God called on his life, but a few chapters earlier, he is seeing something that is quite different. And he is seeing a situation where things are looking bad. And I want to read to you what it says in Isaiah 3. It says here, "The Lord takes his place in court. He rises to judge the people. The Lord enters into judgment against the elders and leaders of his people. It is you who have ruined my vineyard. The plunder from the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the faces of the poor, declares the Lord Almighty." We live in a world today, don't we, where actually the wealth of the poor is in the houses of the rich. And it is people in authority, leaders of our nation, leaders of our industries, leaders of our economy, where are making decisions where these problems are occurring. And you get a sense from this reading, don't you, of God's deep feelings about this issue. God is not indifferent to the plight of the poor, and he holds the people responsible. And I want to just tell you about one of our clients who is facing a disability. And when we go and see her, Jen and I actually go to see this client for the first time. She's facing a debt of £2,000 because of the problems with her house that she's been provided for by the housing association. The heating in the house is so expensive to run. Just to heat one room, she's run up a debt of £2,000 with her utility company. There are things in place in our world that is causing incredible need. There are injustices that are so subtle in so many different ways. Systems, procedures, policies. And the idea is intended to make work more attractive to people, which is commendable. But it also inadvertently punishes those who are not able to work for whatever reason, or who are so poorly paid when they do work that they can still barely survive. And we have some real injustices in our world. But guess what? Here at Penrith Methodist Church, you, together with the churches across Penrith and Eden, are doing something about it. We're here tackling the issue at the coalface. Not only are we providing a debt counselling service to help people face the overwhelming burden and pressure of debt, and helping them to find pathways out of it, but we're doing so with the love and compassion that comes from the very heart of God. It's beautiful. Lorraine talked about a befriender who came into her situation and became a really good friend, didn't she, Lorraine, to you? And that befriender comes saying, "Hey, I'm going to care about you as a person. I'm going to get alongside you as a human being who is worthy of love and has dignity and value and worth. It's not dependent on your social status or your economic stability. It's based on you being a child of God. And I'm going to go the extra mile to care for you, to love you, and to be a friend to you." And we get to pray with people as well and invite the supernatural God into the practical realities of the daily struggle of life. This is the difference that we're making. But let's take another look at Isaiah for a minute. Having seen the poor being crushed and the injustice of those in authority, he sees something else, actually even more overwhelming. He actually has a revelation of the supernatural God. The one, can you imagine? Just imagine this with me for a minute. Just open your minds, maybe close your eyes, and just imagine for a minute, what would it be like to encounter encounter God. Lorraine sitting in a garden encounters God. God meets with her and changes her outlook on life. Imagine meeting the holy, the just, the good God in full technicolor. Church, I want to say to us, we so need a fresh and renewed encounter with our living God. He is alive, by the way, and he's real, and he wants to meet with us. So how does Isaiah respond? His response is, woe is me. He's undone by this encounter. In other words, he's saying, why am I here? He feels utterly overwhelmed, broken by the contrast between his own brokenness and the holiness of heaven, the holiness of God. His response is, his confession is, I'm a man of unclean lips. He's kind of saying, I've got my own baggage. I've got my own issues. I'm not all sorted. How could I be of any use to God? And I live among a people of unclean lips. We live amongst a nation that is broken, a system that is oppressing the poor. Do you ever feel overwhelmed, like Isaiah, by the real conditions and the needs of our nation? Do you ever feel inadequate, faced with the scale and the complexity of the problems? This is what Isaiah is feeling here. But God doesn't let him stay here. It says that an angel came to him, a seraphim flew to him and touched his mouth and said, see, with a coal, I have touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin atoned for. And then he is commissioned and sent to go. And his response, despite his hesitations and limitations, God is going to use him. And he says to God, yes, I will go. Here am I. Send me. God is asking that question of us today. He's saying, who will go for me? Who can I send? You know, Jesus said to us, didn't he? He said, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And so we get to go in the name of Jesus to represent God in this world. And God is asking us that question, who shall go for me? And I want to invite you just to think about that for a moment. Think about your own response to that question. Isaiah, inadequate, incapable, and yet God, awesome and holy, and he sends us, he commissions us. And so I want to invite you again to take a look again at the reality, just under the surface of our society, of our town, of our community, of poverty in this nation. And I want to invite you to consider your own response to that. There are at least three things you can do, church. At least three things. And many of you probably are already doing many of these things. But I want to just give you three things and maybe encourage you to think about at least doing two of them, even as you walk away from here today. Firstly, pray. Please pray. Please pray for our clients. Please pray for our befrienders. Please pray for ourselves as we go. And Jen and myself as we go, we so need to know that you are praying for us. You're supporting us with your prayers. You're backing us up as we go into new situations, situations we've not been into before. We have never known what we're going to see when we open the door of the house and meet someone for the first time. What situation? We need the love and the strength and the compassion of God to empower us as we go. So please pray for us. Secondly, you can give financially. You can use the forms that are on your chairs, fill in the details of that, and help us both locally and nationally to be investing financially in the work. It takes money to tackle these problems, and we need your help. We don't pay clients' debts off them, but we do need to pay the wages of people who do the work. And so please help us in that. You can use the forms that are on your chairs to do that. Come and see me afterwards, and I would love to give you a little book that John Kirkby's written. I'll be outside here. If you want to get involved, then we can just encourage you with that. Tell you stories, amazing stories of what God's doing through the work of CAP. And finally, you can act. You have time, and you can use that time to invest in something. It might be as simple as going around to your neighbour and asking how they're doing. It might be just saying, I can see someone who has real struggles, real needs, and I'm going to do something to help them in practically in a way that I can. And it may be about getting involved with CAP itself as well. Come and help with our hampers. Bring some donations to our Christmas hamper packing. Or it might be to come and be a befriender. You're never too inadequate, underqualified, to be involved in this work. So can I encourage you to think about how you can get involved in responding as you see, again, the challenges of our world. Guys, thanks for your time this morning. And I think we're going to move on, and we're going to be singing in just a moment our next hymn. Let me just pray for us. Father, I thank you that we get to have a vision of you, and we get to see you glorious in this world, and we get to see your compassion, your love for the poorest in our society. Jesus, help us to be part of the answer, not part of the problem. Thank you that you've empowered us through the work of CAP to be able to make a difference, and we are seeing real change in our world. And so we say, yes, Lord, send us. Mobilize us. We're yours. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.